The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
Answering your top financial questions for the past 20 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us this 4th of July.
That's right. We've got a special program. Myself and my co-host here, we're both financial advisors. Certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant of Hanson McLean. And as you know, if you've been listening to this program for a very long time, we typically have shows where we take calls and talk about current economic trends. This program's a little different. We've got a special program for 4th of July, and we're going to be spending a little bit of time talking about really some economic freedoms as it relates to our own country's independence. And
just some history around the 4th of July. And yeah. We're going to share that with you.
And we thought we'd do it a little bit different this 4th of July weekend for a couple reasons. One is most people are out and about with friends or family or whatever on this weekend, and it's a Saturday is when 4th of July fell, so people are doing things, eating hot dogs, all that kind of stuff on 4th of July. So we thought, you know, instead of having people call the program and ask their financial question, we would just...
But you can save that for next week.
Yes.
You can call us on the 11th of July.
Or the following.
Or the 18th. Following.
Oh, 25th? Look at Pat showing off his, he can add seven.
Seven.
Add seven. Whatever the number is, he can throw seven on it. He can, just like that. I mean, it takes no time. Throw
right
that
there.
Seven there.
Yep. I'm just showing off now.
Actually, Pat is really good. There's people who can take a mathematical calculation in your head very rapidly.
Sometimes. Normally just before lunch. I don't, actually, after lunch, I don't even try anymore.
So, by the way, if you're a client of Pat's,
just meet with me before
in the morning,
lunch.
In the morning only.
Yeah, I know. I realized that years ago is that I just wasn't after lunch for whatever reason. I think I don't know. Anyway,
all right. So
there we go.
I guess. Well, it is important to figure out what your best, most productive time of the day. If it's when are you the most creative? And
yes,
I do quite a bit of writing. I find it best early in the morning.
Yeah,
first thing in the morning.
I try to sleep in the mornings.
Well, I don't have that luxury. Someone has to do the writing.
Yeah, perfect. Well, so the whole show, 4th of July. It's all about the 4th of July today.
Yeah, 4th of July and our economic independence here in the United States.
And
some personal, we're going to tie it back into a little bit of personal.
Some
you could have some independence
financial.
With your own finances.
But a lot of these things we're sharing with you today, we actually have posted to our website, moneymatters.com. moneymatters.com. So if you say, that's interesting, or I've got nothing to talk with my family about this afternoon, I should download some of these tidbits.
Yes, you go to moneymatters.com right now, and you've got it. And you too can come across as highly educated, intellectual, and just brilliant.
On the celebration of our 239th birthday.
Because we are going to be talking about a lot of useless trivia as well on 4th of July.
Not useless.
And just some random facts of business on economic history.
Yeah.
So.
239 years.
It's been 239 years. I wonder what the weather was like on the 4th of July.
239 years ago?
Were they July was probably hot and muggy back there.
Yeah, imagine.
Before they discovered the beautiful climate of California.
Yes. Long before.
Yeah, so today's 239 years. It just seemed like a couple years ago was the 200th.
Actually, I actually remember that.
I do too.
Because there was there was like this traveling freedom something that year where it was like a Americana. And I remember my brother and I took the bus downtown Sacramento. How old was I then? 12, 13? It's 13.
I was just saying how good you were with math. You're trying to count. It's 39 years ago.
I was 13. And we took the bus downtown Sacramento, and I still remember that. We went to the thing. It was kind of a ripoff, but we missed the bus on the ride home. And we had to borrow some change from someone to call my mom and ask her to come pick us up. And that...
See, we said we're going to talk about history, 4th of July history. And what we didn't tell you at the start of the show, it's going to be our personal experiences, our personal history at 4th of July.
On every 4th of July. Then after that, the next year...
Oh, did I burn the hot dogs that one year?
Oh, the next year. Oh, and then the potato salad was out in the sun too long.
I do have a funny, this is my own personal story, 4th of July story. My family for probably 20 years has spent 4th of July up at Lake Tahoe with about 8 million other people, right? It's always very, it's like the probably the most crowded time of the year in Lake Tahoe, but we've been doing it for years and years. And we had, we got a little cabin up there. We've had a friend that we had invited him up for 4th of July, and my buddy Tom, and he says, oh, I've got, I know a couple guys that have been doing the trek, the Pacific Rim Trail. What's what they call it? The Pacific Crest Trail.
Is this
Pacific Crest Trail?
Is this Tom Hookrattle?
Yeah, Pacific. It's anonymity here. Pacific Crest Trail.
I won't mention Tom Hookrattle's name again.
Okay. Great guy. So these kids, he knew these college age kids that were hiking from San Diego, Mexico border to Canada along the Pacific Crest
the
Trail.
Through.
Pacific Crest Trail. I didn't know it's called the hike through until this year when the movie comes out and all that stuff.
I read the book.
The book, yeah.
No, the book was actually, the movie was based on a book. Okay, so.
They didn't base the book on the movie. That's weird.
So what happens?
So we get these.
Tom invites him over?
Well, Tom asked if it was okay, and I said, sure, bring him on over. And I didn't really know what they were up to, but I took one look at them, and they were both quite skinny, right? So I've never seen two people eat so much food on a 4th of July.
Oh, I can imagine.
Because these kids have been hiking for weeks on rations, and now they had as many hot dogs and hamburgers. And I remember, I said, you know, guys, there's more potato salad or whatever there was. And are you sure it's okay? Yeah, eat whatever you'd like. And they just mowed through. So
that's funny. That's that was awfully nice of you.
Well, that's the kind of guy I am, Pat. I'm always looking to serve others.
Yeah.
And as this 4th of July, I will be doing the same, serving others, I'm sure.
And Tom Hookrattle was always glad to facilitate you serving others as well.
No, okay, that's not true. He's
no, he's a good guy.
He's a great guy.
I do like Tom.
Adopted his grandkid.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Good guy. Haven't seen him in years.
He lives. But. Yeah, anyway, we'll go.
He moves out of state, did he not?
Yeah, okay, we get to quit talking about Tom. And he's got a wonderful wife. She's just as
marvelous.
Okay. So, 4th of July today, our 239th birthday. Population of the U.S. today is almost 320 million. 319 million. Yeah. So, I was kind of surprised when I first saw this number. Population of the U.S. in 1776, 2.5 million people.
It's been quite a growth.
Yeah, 2.5 million people back in 1776. Some other things about 4th of July that you may or may not know. Congress declared this a national holiday back in 1870.
Why did they choose the 4th? Why not the... Like, Canada celebrates, I believe, their Independence Day is the 1st of July. I believe. Don't call me if I'm wrong. I'll look it up myself.
You realize this was a date in history. The 4th of July was the date... I mean, why didn't they say, why are we declaring independence today? Maybe we should do it tomorrow so it can be celebrated on the 5th going forward.
That is a stupid question.
That
Forgive
was a
me.
Really stupid question.
Forgive me.
And
Forgive
oftentimes
me.
This program will say, look, call with your questions. No questions stupid. That was a stupid
really
question.
Was.
Why do we celebrate it
That's
on the 4th?
That's when the Declaration of Independence was
Why in July? I think the weather's a little nicer in June.
Well, why not like the Constitution Day? Why the Declaration of Independence? It took them a long time after.
Why is that our day that we celebrate? So the question was, I believe, why is it the Declaration of Independence? Why is that day the day the founding of our country as opposed to the date that they signed the Constitution or the date we had our first presidency or could have been in any number of days.
But that's for another show.
Or the date Christopher Columbus first came here and...
Yeah. Displaced. The native people.
Yeah, you sound like the education my son was receiving from his wonderful public schools.
Is that right? It happens.
No. All right, so some other things about 4th of July, which you may or may not know. There's out of 319 million people in the U.S., 160 million people are going to be participating in a barbecue today.
That every just other person. Screams emergency room visits. That's what that screams.
You mean you're not supposed to keep spreading the lighting fluid on after?
Doesn't it just scream emergency room visits? 160 million people with open flames.
I'm looking at my trivia. I do not see how many
visits to the ER.
I guarantee it's much higher on the 4th of July. Today there'll be a lot more people in the emergency room. So be careful with those barbecues. But 160 million of us
will barbecue, including myself.
And myself as well, barbecue. 115.
Although I barbecue about four days a week. Anyway, even during the middle of the winter, we barbecue.
I grill.
Yeah, it's not barbecue because you're like from the South. They're like, oh, you smoke.
Lighting it together.
You know, in the South, unless you're doing like a pig picking.
What?
Pig picking.
So a pig picking.
Down in the South, they smoke the pig and then they eat it. And I was invited to a pig picking.
They called it a pig picking.
That's what this guy called it.
How many pigs are slaughtered for 4th of July, you wonder?
I have no idea. But then in the South, I was invited to a bug boil as well.
You got some really nice friends, it sounds like, Pat. Sounds like a wonderful way to spend your
That's where they boil crawdads, by the way. They call bug boil.
All right. We're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue on with the Hanson McLean's 4th of July special. So stick around for more fun with 4th of July.
Want more advice on financial matters? Check out MoneyMatters.com, where you'll find information ranging from retirement to taxes to insurance to investments. All on MoneyMatters.com.
Are you as confident as you should be when it comes to your finances? Do you feel that you're on track to accomplish your goals? If not, you owe it to yourself to take a look at Hanson McLean Advisors. Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, hosts of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, founded Hanson McLean Advisors over 20 years ago to help people make wise choices with their money. The approach taken by Hanson McLean Advisors is one of financial planning, meaning the advisors take the time with each client to help map out a strategy before they offer any solutions. Their fee-based investment accounts are designed to be transparent and liquid, so you never have to guess what's going on under the hood. And there are no commissions when products are changed or when rebalances take place. Plus, unlike many investment firms, there is a high level of communication keeping you informed and up to date. With offices in Northern California, come and see how Hanson McLean Advisors can be of benefit to you. Contact them at 1-888-2-HANSON or moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Taking the financially complex and making it simple. It's Hanson McLean's Money Matters at 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's 4th of July special. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
And by the way, if you've been a listener to this program for a long time, you realize that we've done a 4th of July special in the past.
We have.
This is a different program.
Yes, with new
trivia and information.
We think. I didn't actually go back and listen to the last show, did you?
No. I'm assuming. Well, we had our, Sean Harvey does our research for us for our program.
He did this? He went.
I asked for new information.
New material.
Yeah. It is still July 4th, though.
Yeah.
July 5th. If there's any question on why we celebrate on the 4th and not the 1st, like the Canadians do.
Sean Harvey is the official researcher of the Hanson McLean radio show.
So we know that most of us are going to be barbecuing.
160 million. Approximately half.
Fireworks. 115 million of us are going to watch fireworks. Roughly one out of three people.
Which leads me to believe that what happened to the other 45 million that were barbecuing? Why did they not stay for the fireworks?
Well, it is pretty late at night.
Okay.
Past people's bedtimes.
I
always watch fireworks.
I'm
going to
watch fireworks. Absolutely.
Me too. I always love watching the fireworks.
Yes.
Do I love the fireworks? Are always kind of interesting to watch.
And they'll spend $1 billion. I was amazed by this number. $1 billion on fireworks.
On private fireworks, not counting the shows.
$1 billion.
That's the little things in the...
Depending upon the county in which you live, if it's allowed.
Yeah.
It's those little kiosks that are run by the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts.
I remember as a kid being in Oklahoma on 4th of July, and I don't think there were any rules on what you can blow up in Oklahoma. You hear the M-80s and the bottle rockets. You light them on fire, and they're like a...
They shoot.
Yeah.
They're dangerous.
On the dry fields. I can only imagine what would happen to Northern California or Southern California, get a bunch of kids with bottle rockets.
Yeah.
And I don't buy...
I don't.
I haven't. I've never liked spending money on that kind of stuff.
I have a hard time with it, too.
It's like watching money burn.
It is.
It's the closest thing you could get to watching dollars burn.
I have a very difficult time spending money on fireworks.
Because I'm like, this thing's $7, and it's going to provide us 45 seconds of
and when,
mediocre
fact,
enjoyment.
When the kids were little, I just, I'd play video fireworks for the kids.
Video. It's what's nice, because it's the same TV that you have the fire. So
it was easy. Just throw in a new tape.
We're not going to light a fire tonight. We're going to do fireworks instead.
I'd throw in a new VHS. And for those people that
we just turned on the beginning of Love American Style, and they would have the fireworks going.
You're dating yourself.
I am dating myself, but that's what I remember as a kid.
All right. And
it was a patriotic program as well.
$2.6 billion on groceries for the 4th of July.
And we all overspend on groceries on 4th of July because you don't know how many hot dogs people are going to eat and the stuff. And you buy stuff. I will buy stuff that I typically wouldn't eat.
My wife is down at the Costco. She's at the Costco.
The Costco?
Well, that's what we refer to it as, the Costco.
Where'd the come from? I mean, it's such an integral part of your life. It's now the Costco.
Oh, yeah. We have the American Express Costco card.
Yes,
when we get
the
rebates, personally delivered from the manager, the rebate check.
Personally delivered. Thank you, Mr. McLean. Mr. and Mrs. McLean, I appreciate your patronage over these years.
We went on vacation for a week. The store manager called, making sure my wife was okay.
Because she didn't show up to buy the the Costco.
They had to restate their earnings.
How'd you miss it by a penny? Well, the McLeans were on an extended vacation, they didn't have the Costco where they were vacationing.
The Costco.
All right, so $2.5 billion spent on groceries. I don't know if that's a little or a lot. This is interesting, though. The price of U.S. flag imports for this year?
Imports.
U.S. flag imports, $3.6 million. Almost all coming from China.
Yep. Do you think that the Chinese making those flags were ever thinking, wow? You ever think like that?
Wow, what?
Like, why can't we be making Chinese flags and keeping them here?
Maybe they do.
And they like, you're talking about fireworks.
Oh, the Chinese?
Yeah. They're the ones that where fireworks came from, I think.
I don't know.
We don't have the history of fireworks. We apologize. We're financial advisors.
150 million hot dogs today.
That's not that many. Well, 160 million people are going to participate in a barbecue and 150 million hot dogs.
Well, actually, and you think
about two or three hot dogs.
I have four teenagers. My boys easily will mow through three hot dogs. Easily. Easily.
So they'll skew the number right there.
Yeah, right there. And most of which were manufactured in Iowa.
Hot dogs?
Yes. Most of hot dogs are manufactured in Iowa. I had no idea. And I don't know why I wouldn't know.
How about this one? One-third of all baked beans consumed today will come from North Dakota.
That.
Along with fracking.
Easy enough. All right, yes. So what happened on the 4th of July?
If you're just tuning in thinking, what is this program? Hanson McLean's Money Matters. But we are talking about 4th of July.
Special 4th of July edition.
This is a special edition, too, by the way. I find it quite special.
So, U.S. presidents died on 4th of July. John Adams.
This is weird.
Jefferson.
When I saw this.
Monroe.
Three U.S. presidents died on July 4th. John Adams was our second president.
Thomas Jefferson, our third.
Thomas Jefferson, our third. They both died on July 4th, 1826.
Yeah.
How bizarre would that be?
Interesting.
If you think suddenly if this 4th of July, two ex-presidents
died.
That's
taking patriotism a little bit too far.
They realized they had nothing more to live for.
James Monroe, fifth president, died on July the 4th.
Of 1831.
Now let's get
You would think that's a little odd. Would you not?
1789, we passed the U.S. Tariff Act on July 4th, and this helped raise taxes to pay for the Revolutionary War.
We were already in debt, the start of our country. Because this was 1789.
Yep.
And we had the Tariff Act raise taxes to pay for the Revolutionary War, passed on July 4th. Also on July 4th, 1802, it's when the U.S. Military Academy opened, West Point. So, West Point back in 1802.
No, a couple kids that are going to West Point. Tough.
My son wants to apply to West Point.
Does he really? Do you think he's smart enough to get in?
He's a Hanson.
I don't. Do you think he has a shot at it?
I don't know. I mean,
that's a hard school to get into. He's a smart kid.
I don't know if it's the right thing for him.
Really?
Because he told me he's going to do that.
It is really structured. Is he a pretty structured kid?
Not really.
Yeah.
And his room's a disaster. He learned how to straighten up his room anyway.
I had a...
They have that going for him.
I had a cousin that was accepted, and he stayed 3 weeks. Just said it was too much.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, he just said it was way too much. Way, way too much for him. He just said, I couldn't do it. Couldn't imagine spending. He said it was 3 weeks was 2 weeks too long.
I think it's actually a phenomenal school,
oh,
honestly.
Oh, there's no question.
And we appreciate the students that go there. 1803, we completed the Louisiana Purchase, which doubled the size of the United States. Yep. I don't know what it means to say we completed it, but I'm assuming we made our last payment on 1803.
1884, France gave us the Statue of Liberty.
1884. Wouldn't you thought it was before then? Because you think about the big rush of immigration. Give us your tired and your needy and
yeah,
your
but there's
poor.
Yeah, but that was Ellis Island.
Give us all that stuff. And now it's the opposite. Keep it all away.
Well, I don't think it's really the opposite. We're just not.
We have a disastrous immigration policy, obviously, right. Or lack thereof.
Yes.
All right, for Northern Californians, we appreciate this. In 1933, construction began on the Oakland-San Francisco Bay Bridge. So that's the original Bay Bridge.
Yes. The one with the...
It only took 8 months to build as opposed to eight... Actually, I didn't say how long it opened, but I guarantee you it was much less time than this last
naturally.
Bridge. And they didn't have a bolt issue, either, apparently.
Yes. 2013, Statue of Liberty reopened to the public. Have you ever been to the Statue of Liberty? Did you go in? Have you ever been inside
it? No. Yeah.
We went inside it. It was nice.
Who's we? About your family inside?
Wait. My wife.
What are you going to do inside it? I've never had any, and I'm back in New York periodically for business. And
we walked through the inside. My wife and I did it. It was before we had children.
What
like
do you do inside it?
You're like, wow. This is neat. You say things like that.
Say things like that. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, we went up into the head of the Statue of Liberty.
Can you still do that? Or how about in the torch? Can you go out in the torch anymore?
I don't
you gotta
know.
You got to be like special, I think.
I don't know if you can get out in the torch.
I think you got to be extra special. And that would probably preclude me.
All right, so let's get into the economic history behind the revolution.
Yes. So the Declaration of Independence, it was really...
What was it about?
Taxes. It was about taxes. Because the colonies didn't have any representation in British Parliament, but they were being taxed anyway. They didn't think Brits had any right. How can you tax us? We have no representation.
It was taxation without representation.
Somebody took their high school Western U.S. history class.
I did. Yep.
Yep. And if the Boston Tea Party was largely symbolic, of course, we talk about it a lot now, but that was the tax that really angered the colonists.
It was the Stamp Act.
Yeah. What is the Stamp Act?
It required to pay on taxes on every piece of printed paper that they used, which is weird.
The British passed the Stamp Act March 22nd, 1765. So roughly 11 years before the Declaration of Independence, the Stamp Act. That's what really ticked people off.
So you paid taxes on legal documents, license, newspapers, playing cards? Playing cards. And you think
you pay taxes on them today. If I go to the Costco and buy...
Yeah, you pay taxes on newspapers.
50 packs of playing cards. I couldn't buy just one pack of cards.
You gotta buy 50 packs.
My 50 pack of playing cards would be taxed. But this is really the first tax that was a punitive and not related to commerce or trade.
It was basically like, we're in charge. We're just gonna shove this down your throat.
We've got no choice in the matter. Yeah, that's what. And that's the Boston Tea Party was largely about this stamp tax. But if you think about every sort of paper, a license. Newspaper.
Legal documents, a trust or a will, a bill of sale.
Extra tax, just trying to get their money out of it. So that was...
And that's when we said, enough is enough.
And we had the revolution.
Yeah, we had the symbolic Boston Tea Party.
And we declared our independence on July 4th, 1776.
We said, enough of you. We've had it.
And we celebrate that, of course, today, don't we?
Yes.
All right. All right, let's
we should go to the break.
Huh?
Oh.
Pat's not. If Pat, if you're getting bored with the format and the program, think of the poor listeners.
I gotta.
Pat's like, can we go to the break?
No. I gotta get out of here. We're
crying out loud. Can we go to the break?
I gotta go to a barbecue.
You can't speed up the clock.
I still have to go to a barbecue. You're right. I can't. Can I? I still have to. I get anxious sometimes.
I thought you're barbecuing on this 4th of July.
I'm gonna go to a barbecue at my house.
Oh, and you got to get things going.
People coming over?
If you're just tuning in, this is Hanson McLean's July 4th special. Hanson McLean, we are an investment advisory firm. We help people transition into retirement. We help them save for retirement, help them manage their assets and their money, and all those things financially related. And of course, you can find out much more about what we do at moneymatters.com. But for this 4th of July, we've got this special program. We're talking about some economic history, history of the United States. And if you're curious about what we're talking about, you can get all this information. We've put this up on our website, moneymatters.com. So visit moneymatters.com. Hanson McLean's going to be right back.
Get a podcast of Hanson McLean's Money Matters delivered each week to your computer or mobile device. Simply visit moneymatters.com.
You hear Scott Hanson and Pat McLean each weekend as they host Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And if you're not yet a client of Hanson McLean Advisors, you really ought to give them a shot. You see, the same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean Advisors is to first listen to you and then help come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Goals that range from retirement planning to debt elimination to income solutions. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that picks from a wide variety of financial products. They use investment tools from well-known brand names, in addition to financial products from lesser-known boutique shops, all with the objective to help you meet your financial goals. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at moneymatters.com.
Back to one of the longest-running financial programs. Here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters on this July 4th special. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you are here with us on July 4th. I'm glad we can all participate in the 4th of July. Do you have your American flag up today, by the way?
No.
Do you own an American flag?
I do, but... I think when we painted the house, it had the holder on the by the front door, and we took it off when we painted the house, and it never got back on the side of the house. Do you have an American flag?
Yes, and I probably should not have brought this question up on the air just for the world to hear how unpatriotic you are and unappreciative.
I don't believe that it reflects on my patriotism or lack of. We just forgot to put the thing back up after we painted the house.
So the country is essentially not a priority to you.
The flag at the front of my house has not been.
The flag is symbolic of one's patriotism and love of country.
All right there. Although I believe my wife has mentioned it a couple of times that I need to get that back up.
You probably should for next July 4th.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to write that down.
You write that. Make it one of your yearly goals.
My to-do list.
All right, so we're talking about some historical things regarding 4th of July. Just a little bit of a different program today, kind of lighten up a little. And although we normally take calls regarding financial matters, we're not taking calls today. We're talking about the 4th of July, our country's independence, and some economic trivia about that. So we're going to talk about what America was like from an economic standpoint before our independence. What were we like from an economic standpoint? So really, if you look back before 1800, this is before the Industrial Revolution. So this is pre-industrialized United States. It was just a very different time. This is before we had steam power to help with factories and transportation and all that.
So if you think about it, before the steam power, you would use water power. So many of the... manufacturing, mostly
near
mills
streams or rivers,
or grinders were near streams or rivers.
Yeah, and of course used oxen and horses and
yes,
beasts of burden to do a lot of the work, as much of the world still lives today. If you've done some traveling in the third world, you've seen all that. But back before 1800, America was mostly an agrarian economy, which really meant that the vast majority of us lived on small farms. 90% lived on small farms. And of course, today that number is dramatically smaller.
Exactly.
The opposite. Yes. Small farms are...
farm
to fork and all that.
But small farms, there are a lot of small farms, but the percentage of what they actually grow or ranch
continues to dwindle.
But the number of farms is still quite large.
Yeah, good or bad, that's just what's happening.
And a lot of contract farmers. I just watched the documentary on small farms on Netflix. I forget what it was called. I watched it a couple of weeks ago. It was great.
You watch a documentary?
I love documentaries.
And that's a weird thing.
I do love the documentary.
But back in this time, at the revolutionary time, most people survived at some sort of subsistence level. I mean, they would produce whatever they needed for their family. There wasn't much left over.
Yeah.
There was no Costco.
Nope.
No
grocery stores.
1776.
Very few factories.
Think about things we take for granted, like lights and indoor toilets.
The consumption of meat as a protein was relatively small. And you think about it, it makes sense because of the fact that there was no cooling. It was how you actually had to smoke the meat to preserve it or salt it. Do you ever read the Little House on the Prairie series when you were a kid? Laura Ingalls Wilder? The TV show, but the series.
The books?
Yeah, the books.
No, did you?
I read them all, yes.
And you did this because?
I found them interesting.
Oh.
I thought it was really interesting. Anyway.
And what's your point?
Well, this is kind of how they lived.
Yeah. It's how a lot of the world still does live.
Yes, yes.
Not here in the U.S., but other parts of the... Of course, I think it's much more challenging. But the term cottage industry?
Yeah.
Did you hear about cottage industry? The term comes from a manufacturing business that was carried out of one's home.
Or their cottage.
Or their cottage.
Which is actually, with the microfinance in third world countries, there is a big push for microfinance in order to bring people out of subsistence living into a more industrialized economy through the use of cottage industries.
That's exactly right.
In microfinance.
That's exactly right.
Which is actually quite brilliant. I think you were at that conference where the gentleman spoke about.
I visited firsthand microfinance businesses.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah.
Where?
I was in India.
Really?
Yes.
And what were they manufacturing, if you will?
I went to a number of different things. I saw manufacturing some sewing goods. I saw places where they had different. They actually, I'm trying to think. Oftentimes, they would have their own different types of businesses
in these houses.
Yeah, one might be as simple as the funds were used to pay for a cart, for a vegetable cart that a woman was beforehand renting a cart, where at the end of each day, the owner of the cart would come to collect the rent from the cart.
Really? Wow. How long ago was that? When did you go to India?
Earlier this year.
Huh.
Yeah.
I've never been.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's on my list of things to return.
I was just thinking.
I don't want to say anything. I loved Indian people. Anyway.
Actually, I just ran into a friend of mine that had moved to Mumbai.
Moved there?
Yeah, 6 or 7 years ago. He's a huge wine importer.
Exporter?
Importer. He imports it.
To California from India?
No, from California to India.
Okay, so he moved to India, there. So now he's an importer.
Yeah, he imports it. He was exporting it to someone back there, and then his brother stayed here, and he's doing quite well.
Well, there we go then. Anyway, so America started to move away from this kind of agriculture agrarian system to the industrial economy, and that took place over from roughly 1800 to 1870. and we saw this this change. And it's really through the Industrial Revolution. And we started during that time, we started to see factories spring up in cities, started having some factories. And this is when we really started seeing people move from the small farms to the cities to work in the factories.
Yeah.
Much like we see, we've been watching in China, all these people moving from the farms to
into
the cities to work in the factories. And this really changed because now most goods were no longer made at home. Most clothing items were no longer made at home.
They weren't no longer cottage industries.
And the standard of living rose for most people. Not everybody, of course, but in the late 19th century, there was still really distinction in the United States, kind of two societies. The North was highly industrialized,
yeah,
particularly on a global stage, highly industrialized, and the South was still very much agrarian. And this was really a major reason why the North won the Civil War.
It's because they actually had the
factors of production.
Factors of production.
They had the economic might behind them because they were industrialized.
Which is one of the major reasons we actually won World War II as well. Because we had the factories and we repurposed them.
Yeah. So, anyway, a little history on the our U.S. here. Let's look at some random facts from business or economic history. Just some kind of random facts, because I thought these were actually pretty interesting. And I think you will as well. For example, in 1973, Bill Gates told his Harvard University professors, he said, "I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm age 30. So Bill Gates, before he dropped out of school, told his professors at Harvard, "I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm age 30.
That just reminds me of that Steve Martin line where he said, "How to become a millionaire." Do you remember that joke? First of all, get $1 million.
Start with $1 million.
Steve Martin had that line. "I'm going to teach you how to become a millionaire. First of all, get $1 million.
And what's this guy's name? Escape me right now. The billionaire virgin.
Branson.
Richard Branson said, "How do you become a millionaire?"
Yeah.
Start as a billionaire and buy an airline.
Well, actually, that was a while ago. Now, the airlines are doing quite well.
Yeah, he's doing okay. Anyway, so Bill Gates was a billionaire at age 31.
Yeah. He's, the boy's going to do okay.
In 1944, at age 14, Warren Buffett bought a 40-acre farm with $1,200.
Really?
In savings that he acquired from delivering newspapers.
You got to think about that.
How many newspapers did that boy deliver?
How could you make that much money delivering newspapers? What did he start when he was two?
I'm reading, this is just facts. This is facts.
That
from,
is an incredible amount of money.
I know. He bought a farm. He might have leveraged it a bit and had some other people
he
do
may
some
have.
Financing. So anyway, yeah, this is a Hanson McClain's July 4th special. We're talking about all kinds of things related to our economic independence. Stick around for more. We'll be right back.
Can't always catch Money Matters on the radio each week? Get a podcast of the show delivered to your device every week. Visit moneymatters.com.
Are you as confident as you should be when it comes to your finances? Do you feel that you're on track to accomplish your goals? If not, you owe it to yourself to take a look at Hanson McClain Advisors. Scott Hanson and Pat McClain, hosts of Hanson McClain's Money Matters, founded Hanson McClain Advisors over 20 years ago to help people make wise choices with their money. The approach taken by Hanson McClain Advisors is one of financial planning, meaning the advisors take the time with each client to help map out a strategy before they offer any solutions. Their fee-based investment accounts are designed to be transparent and liquid, so you never have to guess what's going on under the hood. And there are no commissions when products are changed or when rebalances take place. Plus, unlike many investment firms, there is a high level of communication keeping you informed and up to date. With offices in Northern California, come and see how Hanson McClain Advisors can be of benefit to you. Contact them at 1-888-2-HANSON or moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Advice without an agenda. It's back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Yep, we're doing our July 4th Independence Day special program.
And many of these facts are actually on our website if you go to moneymatters.com. Because we didn't get to hit all the facts that our researchers have given us. We just cherry-picked them.
That's right. We are cherry-picking them. And, you know, we've got some random facts of business and economic history we're going through. But also, I want to talk a little about Ben Franklin, because we can't talk about our independence and founding fathers without mentioning Ben Franklin. He lived at 84 years old.
Which was quite old.
But
for that time.
People talk about how life expectancy has grown longer. It's just the fact that many of us are getting to old age. We're not dying out before we get to old age. A lot of people lived in their 80s back then.
I don't know quite what you're saying. Oh, got it. So life expectancy. So if you live to be 65, the chances of you getting to 80 are pretty good.
When you hear like back in the day when life expectancy were 52 years old, for 52 years, life expectancy, it wasn't that if you heard someone lived to 60, that was amazing because the life expectancy is 52. So many kids die before they reached adulthood. And so if you made it to your old till age 60, you still had a pretty good chance. That's why there were a lot of people lived in their 80s. So when people talk about that we're living that much longer today, we are really not living that much longer. It's not like people are living 150 today.
No, it's just that more people are living.
More of us are living into our old age. That's what it comes down to. Anyway, he was one of 17 kids.
Wow.
Comes from a big family. Here's some of the things that Benjamin Franklin's known for. He invented the bifocals, which I'm grateful for.
Ah, yes.
He wrote and published Poor Richard's Almanac.
I read that years ago. Have you ever read it?
Once I did. Of course, he discovered many things about electricity. We know from his kite and all that stuff. He invented the lightning rod. Protected homes. We don't think about it much here in California.
The Franklin stove.
He invented the Franklin stove.
He invented the Franklin Mint.
He invented the first pair of swim fins.
Did he invent the Franklin Mint where you get those?
I don't.
The collector editions.
I don't think so.
The collector edition coins.
He was credited with helping to invent the hospitals, libraries, and fire stations. And he did some of the final edits on the Declaration of Independence. Ben Franklin did. He did some of the final edits on the Declaration of Independence. He was an interesting guy. He had a newspaper business, one of his primary businesses. And what he did is he went to other cities and he'd go to a business person and said, look, I will teach you how I did do my trade, but I want a percentage of your revenue.
One of the first franchisors.
Yeah, not quite a franchise, but he had all these contracts, made a lot of his wealth from...
showing other people how to run their businesses.
Yeah, it's kind of before the whole patent process and everything else.
Yeah.
But he was known to be good with money. And there's some good quotes that you've known before.
Yep.
And so here are some of his quotes. Beware of little expenses. A small leak will sink a great ship.
That's a great quote. It's the same as, you know, watch the nickels and dimes and the dollars will take care of themselves.
If you know the value of money, go and borrow some. Came from Ben Franklin. I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
I don't quite understand that.
No, we don't like that one, Ben.
It's pretty easy to borrow money nowadays.
Yeah, we don't like that one, Ben.
Especially on these social borrowing sites. I just don't quite understand why you'd lend someone money on a social borrowing site.
What do you like?
They have the go...
lending something?
Yeah, where you can lend money invest money in people's businesses. Over $5 billion I read last... week, over $5 billion has been invested in these, where people actually post their ideas and then you fund them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there are lots of scams going on there.
Yeah, yeah. Not all. And that ding you hear did not exist back in 1776.
Well, this is my cell phone. I turned my cell phone off, but my iPad rang.
Why is that?
I've connected the two.
Is that like a giant phone?
It is. It's like a giant phone.
You see Pat holding his iPad.
I like holding my iPad to my head because it makes my head look
smaller.
Smaller.
How to disguise Pat's big head. Here's another quote from Ben Franklin on this. If you're thinking, what in the world are these guys doing? Hanson McLean's 4th of July special. Patience in market is worth pounds in a year.
Thank you. Thank you.
An investment in knowledge always pays the best interest.
We talk about it often on our show, which is if you invest in yourself, that normally has your highest rate of return.
No question about it.
Normally.
Yeah, so that's some things from Ben Franklin.
Thank
he
you,
was
Ben.
Quite some of those guys in the early ages, the founding fathers, were really interesting people.
Yeah, well, highly motivated.
And varied interests, too, quite often. I mean, really interesting people. Yeah. They were highly motivated.
Quite aggressive. Imagine in the room with those guys, everyone's got their own little opinion. They're just going at it. Probably made our Congress look pretty tame.
I bet it did. Yeah. In fact, they all had their own self-interest, too.
In fact, yeah.
Not much has
changed.
It
wasn't unusual in the early years of Congress for fistfights to break out.
Well, who are the two guys that shot themselves? Shot each other. I forget. Please don't call us on the answer. Yeah. All right, so here's some other random facts from business or economic history.
Flatbush National Bank of Brooklyn was the first to issue a credit card in 1946. Flatbush National Bank credit card. First credit card issued in 1946.
Was that 1946?
Yeah, I would have thought it was older than that.
Wow. How about this? During 1933, at the height of the Great Depression, we had high unemployment across the country, 30-some-odd percent. Chicago's unemployment rate, almost 50%.
Wow.
50% unemployment in Chicago, a major city, 1933. So the economic crisis that we went through, think about it if it was a time when we had 50% of the Bay Area unemployed.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, it was a huge transportation hub as well as stockyards, Chicago. I do love the city of Chicago, though.
How about stock change trades here? The New York Stock Exchange, the first time they had 1 million shares changing hands in one day was December 15th, 1886.
And 1 billion shares?
October 28th, 1997.
Wow.
So you think about it, I would have never guessed
that 1 million shares would be happen in the 1880s. Would have never, I think that would be outstanding. A huge number, 1 million shares.
Before any sort of computerization.
Yeah, where people just stood there and screamed at each other.
Apple was started in 1976. Certainly become a big company today. Started in a bedroom. Dell Computer was started in a dorm room at University of Texas in 1984. And Pat, I had dinner with a guy years ago who Michael Dell asked, it came to him when Dell was in college and was trying to, wanted to borrow $50,000. This guy was going to invest $50,000 in some college kid's idea about mass manufacture of computers.
But I'm guessing he didn't.
He was all excited about it. And his wife said, "Are you out of your mind? You want to give $50,000 to some college kid with an idea about computers?"
You say that, but giving Dell that $50,000 may have actually stopped him from being successful.
Well, I don't know if we got the money elsewhere or not. This is my own use of trivia. How about Hewlett Packard started in a garage, Palo Alto, in 1939. And get this, by the end of the Civil War, between a third and one half of all U.S. paper currency, so all U.S. bills going around in circulation, were counterfeit.
A third to one half.
Counterfeit.
A third to one half.
How do you keep a economy moving?
How do you even?
And I bet you didn't know this. The Secret Service Division was created to suppress counterfeit currency. That's why the Secret Service, that's where their background came from.
I knew that they were highly involved in counterfeit.
That's what they're created.
But although most law enforcement is now.
July 5th, 1865. They said, why do we have to use July 4th? We can use July 5th for you, Ben.
Thank you. Thank you.
What else is kind of interesting? Useless U.S. Economic trivia here.
The largest jackpot in U.S. history for a lottery? $656 million.
How about the oldest company on the Dow Jones Industrial Average? Which used to be 10, started off at 10, most of the railroads.
Let me guess.
30 today. The oldest one, still part of it, one that's been around the longest.
Dow Chemical?
GE.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. GE was added November 7th, 1907.
That company has been all over the board in terms of reinventing itself.
Yep. Well, it's a good company does, right? And the first stock exchange, when was the first stock exchange created? Antwerp, Belgium, in 1460. That is the first stock exchange that we can find in history, 1460. So there's some economic history.
And you can, there's even more on our website at moneymatters.com. Moneymatters.com.
Yeah, just go to our website and you'll see all the stuff that we've been talking about on this July 4th special. But anyway, it's been fun being here, doing something a little bit different. Myself and my co-host here, we both, our financial advisors, have been doing this radio program for almost 20 years. And we truly care about people making wise choices with their finances. We encourage you to visit our website, moneymatters.com.
Or call our show next week.
Yeah, our contact our show. We always like, we apologize for not taking any callers this week. But, of course, we always like taking your calls. And we hope everyone has a wonderful July 4th holiday. And July 4th is a good time to be with friends and family. And anyway, we just encourage you. It's also a good time to step back and think about some of the own blessings that we have in our own life, and to be grateful for all those that have come before us and fought to create such a wonderful country to live in. It's truly an amazing place, and we are very blessed to be in the United States of America. Enjoy your 4th of July. We'll see you next week.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.
You hear Scott Hanson and Pat McLean each weekend as they host Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And if you're not yet a client of Hanson McLean Advisors, you really ought to give them a shot. You see, the same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean Advisors is to first listen to you and then help come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Goals that range from retirement planning to debt elimination to income solutions. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products. They use investment tools from well-known brand names, in addition to financial products from lesser-known boutique shops, all with the objective to help you meet your financial goals. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at moneymatters.com.